Good morning and welcome once again to Studies in the Gospels right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris Maclier, your host of this program. I want to thank you for tuning in this week, where every week we study the life of Christ as found in the Gospel accounts. We have been in a section now of our study for some time that we have named the Year of Development in and around Jerusalem. And today we're going to look as Jesus warns the multitudes. And our text today will be in Luke chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. As a Christian, are there things that you fear? Are there things about being a disciple of Christ that causes you to have fear or worries or anxieties? One of those fears that many of us often feel is how other people are going to react to us. When we declare ourselves to be Christians, sometimes there are repercussions for that confession. And so in our text today, Jesus is addressing our fears as he also continues to address the theme we've been looking at it. Cleaning our lives from the inside out, that we especially looked at last week. So let's go to our text, and one of the things that we are to have is a heart that is free from hypocrisy. Notice now, Luke 12, beginning in verse 1. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together, so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. Jesus has an enormous crowd that is gathered to hear him. In fact, the multitude of people is so great that it says they are trampling one another. As this massive crowd is surrounding Jesus, he continues to teach his disciples. Jesus warns them about hypocrisy. We should find it quite interesting to note that Jesus describes the hypocrisy here as leaven. Now, the thing about leaven is that a very little bit will spread throughout the whole lump of dough. Hypocrisy spreads like a virus. It has an outward appearance of godliness, but on the inside is full of sinfulness. It's like a disease. And this is why Jesus continues to issue these strong warnings. Now let's not forget the other issue that Jesus associates with the Pharisees as part of their hypocrisy. Now not only were they full of sins on the inside while trying to appear holy on the outside, they did not have the heart and love for God that they should have. Notice it again in Luke 11 and verse 42. They neglected the justice and the love of God. In Luke 11, 41, Jesus told them that their generosity must come from the heart, not as a mere external action. I fear that Jesus would have the same condemnation for so many Christians today. We need to hear and respond to these words about our hypocrisy also. It's so easy and so tempting for us to hold ourselves up, to elevate obedience to the laws of God to such a point that we ignore the heart and the motive behind the obedience that God commands And most of us that have been around for a number of years have seen this. God wants our hearts to be ones that lead to obedience. He wants us to see His love and mercy and grace that will lead Him, that will lead us to love Him and obey Him. God has always desired a grace-driven obedience. Worse, not only do we take God's commands and make them a bunch of rules, we add to God's laws and have a bunch of rules that are not found in the Scriptures. That is exactly what the Pharisees had done. In thinking that they were helping the people obey God, they had turned their traditions and rules that had to be kept so that people were considered defiled, sinful, or liberal for breaking the traditions. How true it could be said of us, as Jesus said to those elite of that day, that we are straining the gnat and swallowing the camel, as we read in Matthew 23 and verse 24. This is a serious danger, because hypocrisy spreads like leaven. Left alone, hypocrisy will spread such that people will think Christianity is just rule-keeping. Many people will sing because God commanded it, but will not sing from the heart and with the words pricking the heart. We will pray, but we will not pray words from our hearts. We will just offer form prayers with words that we've heard others say, merely a bunch of vain repetitions. We will partake of the Lord's Supper, but we will not be moved in the heart as we remember the death of the Lord. We will just be eating flat bread and slinging back some grape juice. Hypocrisy will cause us to not have the zeal to see souls saved, but will just be concerned about keeping our decorum. We will not be moved in the heart for fear of what others may think. So sad to see when there is a baptism that there are those who will not stay for it or not go down and wish the new convert well. Jesus said, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice," Matthew 9:13 and Matthew 12:7. What have we learned what these words mean? It means that God wants your heart. If your heart is not vibrant and beating, then your action is worthless. The prophet Malachi spoke of this problem as the people were obedient to the Lord, bringing their sacrifices, but they considered their obedience a burden and a weariness. It had become a heartless religion rather than a grace-driven obedience. God's response was their condemnation, and I'm scared for us. Brethren, that sometimes in our effort to impress upon people the need to do as God says, which is right and we must teach, but sometimes brethren have completely forgotten the reason and the motive for obedience. If we do not have zeal and love and devotion, if we're not filled with enthusiasm and eagerness, intensity and fervor, our acts of righteousness are void. Jesus declares that the day will come when our hypocrisy will be revealed. Jesus said in verse 2 that there is nothing that we cover up which will not be revealed. Our secrets will be brought to the light, and our hypocrisy will not be concealed forever. We need to constantly examine ourselves. Are the rules that we're keeping God's rules or our own traditions and rules? Are we keeping God's rules because we are filled with the love of the Lord? Because we've turned worship into heartless religion? How can we fight this hypocrisy? Jesus is going to give instruction in the following verses. We learn in verses 4 and 5 that we're to fear God and not man. Notice, "And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him." Jesus is telling his disciples to not be afraid of these religious leaders. The Pharisees, the lawyers, and the Sadducees had the power to make the disciples' lives miserable and even to kill them. These were the ones who had Jesus killed, and quite a number of the early church persecuted and killed also. But Jesus says that we must not fear people who can harm the body. So what if people rebuke you, mock you, or scorn you? I love what Jesus says here. Jesus says that the worst thing they can do is to kill you. No big deal, right? We might think it is a big deal, but it isn't because they can't harm your soul. Do not fear what people can say and do. Fear God, who has the authority to cast your soul into hell. What matters is what God can do to us. Only God has true authority. The only fear that should control our lives is the fear of God. Being a people pleaser is not being a Christian. We must be God pleasers. Christians are too easily frightened away from doing what is right because of people's opinions. Peter had this problem. Recall when Peter was eating with the Gentiles. But when the Jewish Christians came from Jerusalem, he stopped eating with those Gentile Christians because he was scared of what they might say. But don't we do the same thing? Too often we do not do what is lawful for us to do as Christians or as a church because we fear what other Christians might think. We become afraid of what other churches might say about us. We fear what other preachers might do to us. Gospel preachers and elders are very susceptible to this fear. None of us like the ideal of being thought as an outsider. None of us want to be pulled aside and chastised or rebuked. But we cannot be afraid of what others think. We cannot be worried about what we are doing is not done somewhere else, if it is scriptural. We cannot be fearful because we do something that we might not have done before. We must fear God, who will cast our souls into hell for not doing what we should have done because fear had overtaken us. We must not hold on to traditions out of fear. Through grace-driven obedience, we must keep God's laws alone, even if that means some others might not like it. But when we fear God without hypocrisy, it means that God knows you and cares about you. Notice verses 6 and 7. "Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. God cares for you. Jesus tells us these words so that we can avoid being cast into hell for an eternity. God is not trying to cause our mocking and suffering, but we need to clearly understand that pleasing God is not the most important thing. It is the only thing. See Jesus' illustration here. A sparrow was the cheapest thing in the marketplace. 5 sparrows could be purchased for 2 pennies. But even though they are of such low value, they are not forgotten by God. And God's people are way more valuable than a small bird. God will not forget us. God cares about us. God knows what is happening in your life. Notice Jesus spoke about knowing the hairs on our heads. Knowing the hair on our head is not important information. The point is that our Lord absolutely knows everything about us and what's going on. He knows what you are struggling through. God knows who you are, and He cares about you. Do not give in to the hypocrisy of the modern Pharisee. Do not give in to the fear of people or other Christians. The Lord knows who are His. And verses 8 through 12 point out the need for us to stand up for Jesus in this day and age, not for the traditions of men. And if we do that, Jesus is going to claim you later on. Notice beginning in verse 8. And I also say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. Now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. We are to acknowledge Jesus before people by being open and honest about our total commitment to Him. We need to live our lives completely for Jesus. We do not live our lives based on the opinions of others. We cannot live our lives to keep the modern Pharisees at bay. We live for Jesus no matter what the circumstance. And if we live in this way for Jesus, then when we stand before the bar of judgment, the Lord Jesus Christ will claim us. If we deny Him by cowering down to human pressure, peer pressure, then Jesus will deny us because we denied Him. Not only must we not fear or be scared of telling the world that we love Jesus and are His disciples, but that the love for Jesus will lead us to fight against anything that is not a passionate pursuit of Him. Now verses 10 through 12 there pointed out that Jesus is concerned about His disciples, and how much He wants us to not give in when the world, the hypocrites, the Pharisees put religious pressure on us to give in to their ways and their traditions. Jesus says that the disciples are going to be brought to trial before the synagogues, rulers and authorities. Jesus tells them not to be nervous or anxious about how they will defend themselves, because they will have the miraculous outpouring of the Holy Spirit that will tell them what to say. The apostles were miraculously given God's truth so they could teach the world about the new covenant of Christ. We now have the prophetic word given to us by the Holy Spirit through the apostles. Notice 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Peter commands us to make the same ready defense as Jesus told the disciples to give. Notice 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. We must be prepared to give a defense of the hope we have, even if we are slandered or reviled for righteousness' sake. Be ready to take a stand for the love of Jesus Christ against people who claim to be the people of God, but reveal their hypocrisy through their lack of grace and their obedience that is driven by love. We must hold on to the Word of God and nothing else. We will overcome by declaring the very words of God. Notice the condemnation that Jesus gives in verse 10. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. When we reject the words of God and desire to follow our own rules and traditions, there is no way that we can find grace and mercy. We are relying upon our own supposed way of righteousness rather than the true way of righteousness that is revealed by God. Be zealous for the Word of God, not for our rules or traditions or ways. And so, as we bring things to a conclusion today, we need to see that Jesus has given a stern warning for his disciples. We see that true disciples are God pleasers and not people pleasers. We learn that the only fear that should control our lives is the fear of God and his word. God is looking for zealous hearts who desire to obey him. Our obedience is not what God desires. God wants obedience from our love for him. And so, my friends, we need to have pure hearts, and we need to cast away any hypocrisy that is in us, because the day is coming when the true condition of our hearts is going to be revealed. I want to thank you for joining me today. I hope that we'll all give heed to these warnings of Christ. I hope that our time together has benefited you in some way. I'm certainly encouraged and thankful for your tuning in today. Hope you'll remember this program is replayed at 11 p.m. this evening and also posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. And so, till we meet again, this is Chris saying so long and have a wonderful day.